This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. And we got a fun one here. We have Jordan David Mills of the CBJ Artillery, and we're going to go real fast on this podcast because we're going to be talking Columbus Blue Jackets and also racing when we talk NASCAR. Jordan, welcome to the podcast.
It's good to be back, guys. Thanks for having me.
From you, Jordan, and I know Jake has still been sporting his stuff. Is it okay to still walk around, you know, Ohio with a Columbus Lamp Apparel authorized artillery T-shirt on, even though the Blue Jackets lost to the Pens?
Absolutely. You got to keep rocking the jackets. Disappointing loss, but, I went out today, ran some errands. I had my jacket, hat, and shirt on, so, there's no shame on my end. I think it's safe to say you can still rock your gear.
Jordan, we still haven't been able to get over that hump of winning a playoff series, so it's a little bittersweet at the end of the season that you had with first ever 100-point or the most points in club history and all that sort of stuff. But
yeah.
As you look back on just this series, what do you think about the series in general and where this team's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely disappointing. I'll be honest, from the season that we had, anything short of a playoff series win to me is a disappointment. I think this team had what it took to get past the Penguins. I mean, if you look at the team in the regular season, I mean, I think we were by far the better team. So, like I said, anything short of a playoff series victory to me is a disappointment. I know I've seen Twitter reaction like, "Oh, we made it to the playoffs. You know, that's great. You know, woohoo." But, you know, when you win 16 straight in December and you break franchise records, we've been to the playoffs before. We had to get over that hump, and unfortunately we didn't. So, I mean, for me, I'm disappointed. But in terms of the series itself, there were definite holes in what we were doing. And, I mean, you could tell defensively we weren't there. Offensively, we were going into the playoffs already struggling from the past couple months. And I feel like there was just a kind of a disconnect with the team going into the playoffs. And, I don't know what happened offensively. I don't know what happened defensively, but I feel like something kind of started to fall apart there towards the end, and to where, we just couldn't compete with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, they have a couple of stars that go out, and they're like the Ohio State Buckeyes. They don't have to, they reload. They don't have to build up from the ground. And we could definitely see the holes in our game playing a caliber team like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the encouraging thing in that series, I think, though, is that the entire series overall, the Jackets probably outplayed them per minute. But what happens is you let down against Pittsburgh for 1 second, as we did in the second period a lot. It's like you can't do that with that firepower, and that's how you end up losing the series. And the real difference was the goaltending.
Yeah, absolutely. Sergei Bobrovsky was outstanding this whole regular season. And, I don't know what it was, but the goaltending was not there for him in the five games that we played. And it was disappointing because, you have such high expectations for Bob going into each game. And, Bob is by far the best player on this team. He's, he has to be the best player on this team because we don't have that star power like Pittsburgh does, We're definitely more of a team and more of a unit, but we don't have that star power. So if Bob is not going out there to perform, it's going to show on our end because we don't have those offensive weapons like Pittsburgh. So I think you're right on point when you said, I think goaltending definitely was kind of a deciding factor in that. Bob just, he was, when you let up four or five goals a game, we're, with our offensive lineup, we're not going to win.
Heading into this off season, as we look forward, what does this team in front office need to do? Give this team a little bit more help offensively, and anything else that you think that as we go forward here, we should keep in mind.
I really don't know the free agent market right now. I haven't really looked or studied up on it, but I think we need to get a first line center in there, somebody that can bring that offensive prowess that we kind of don't necessarily have. Don't get me wrong, we're a good team. We have good goal scorers, but we don't have that one guy that stands out, which may not be a bad thing, but at the same time, you like to have that in your back pocket. And as much as I love Winberg, I don't think he's that first line center yet. I think he's made huge steps, huge improvements to becoming that in the near future. But I think, we need to sign somebody that, has a good veteran offensive presence that could really help us get to the next round. You know, I love our young guys. You know, they've made leaps and bounds from where we were at this point last year, like a Josh Anderson. You know, we got to make sure we hold on to him. And, you know, freaking Zach Werenski. I mean, my God, what a first year he had. I mean, he's only going to get better. So I think, you know, our young guys are there. I think our youngness really showed in the playoffs. You know, I think we're definitely one of the youngest teams in the National Hockey League. So, you know, give them a couple more years to really get going. And I think maybe adding a veteran presence offensively would really help and boost this team.
Let's switch gears here, literally and metaphorically, Jordan, and talk NASCAR, man. We know you are, like, you know, go-to guy because you're a huge fan. You've been following it. And we had to get you on, man, because this news of Dale Jr.'s retirement really sent a shockwave through the racing community and also just, you know, sports fans in general.
I knew it was coming. I didn't expect it this season. I expected him to announce it before the Daytona 500 of the following season. I thought he was going to give his fans, you know, kind of a whole 1 year send off tour. But yeah, it was kind of shocking to see the news so abrupt. You know, it's Junior's definitely the face of this sport, and you know, he's by far one of the most polarizing figures in the history of our sport, I think. And it's definitely going to be sad to see him go. And, you know, I think there might be a slight impact going moving forward because, I mean, with Junior, you have all of Dale Nation or Junior Nation, and that's countless hundreds of thousands of fans across the United States. So,
and the reason I really wanted to have this conversation with you, Jordan, and Jake, you're going to really like this. I think Dale Jr. might be the only athlete in sports that can actually identify with LeBron James. They both had so much hype surrounding them, a different kind of hype considering the legacy that his father had in racing and how Dale Jr. had to carry that mantle and deal with all that and even the struggles early on and not, you know, winning races. And then the hype that LeBron James had coming out of high school. There's a video just posted with, you know, some of the Cavs players at the time when LeBron was drafted, Carlos Boozer, Ricky Davis, and Darius Miles talking about, well, yeah, it'd be great for this guy just to come in and help our team. You know, we don't think he can carry the franchise. And that was one of the big things. People didn't think Dale Jr. could even carry the legacy of his father and personality, the way that he carries himself on and off the track and his love of other sports. I mean, if he's talking about his favorite team in Washington or anything else, I think those similarities, he might be the only person that understands what, you know, that gravitas and that responsibility that you have to walk around with.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, I've watched and followed the sport for so long, and I can say one thing that Dale Jr. never asked for was to really be the face of NASCAR. You know, he inherited all of his father's fans, and because of the history and, you know, how everything happened with that, you know, now all the fans just gravitated towards Junior because, in a sense, he's kind of the one of the last remaining good old boys of the sport. And I don't think he really asked to be the face of NASCAR. And, you know, that just kind of fell in his lap. And I think he's done a phenomenal job and being the face of NASCAR. So, you know, moving forward, it'll be interesting to kind of see who fills that void.
Jordan, you know, they've implemented the new segment role this year, where they are rewarding points for winning the different segment races. How do you think that's really changed how the season's gone so far?
Kind of still indifferent about it. I don't know how I feel about the segment racing. I appreciate that it's adding more competition throughout the race for it, but at the same time, I kind of don't like rewarding drivers for how they run during the race. I'd rather reward them for how they finish. That's kind of, in my eyes, I mean, I've caught some slack for this. To me, it kind of seems like giving them a participation trophy. You know, you win the first two stages and maybe you crash and you finish 38th. Well, you may have just gotten the same amount of points as, you know, the driver that finished second. And to me, I don't agree with it. I like the fact that it adds some more competition to it. But at the same time, maybe we can still have the stage racing, just add other incentives, maybe like a money incentive. I don't know. But I think the points incentive is for me, I'm not a fan of it as of right now. It might grow on me, but, you know, we'll see.
And we're talking with Jordan David Mills of the CBJ Artillery, talking both Blue Jackets and NASCAR. Talk NASCAR. Let's talk about the point standing. Who's going to finish this thing, in your opinion? We know Kyle Larson is leading right now. And we think about that vacuum left by Dale Jr., at least on the track. Which one of these guys can step out? We know the names, Joey Logano, just because he's been successful, you know, winning races in the last couple of years, especially the big ones. But one of the guys that I really love that I think is definitely, you know, poised is the guy who loves tanks and all things that go fast, and that's Brad Keselowski.
Speaking of the void that Junior's going to leave, I was actually talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, an older gentleman who has, you know, seen a lot of different eras come and go at NASCAR. And he was telling me, you know, when Richard Petty retired, when David Pearson retired, when, you know, all the guys that kind of built the sport, in a sense, nobody really, all the fans are kind of like, oh, no, what's going to happen now? And that's when Jeff Gordon came along and Tony Stewart came along and Jimmy Johnson came along and all these superstars that got us through like the late 90s and the early 2000s. And, you know, now you see Jeff Gordon retiring, Tony Stewart retiring, Dale Earnhardt Jr. retiring. And I think all the fans are kind of like, oh, no, what's going to happen now? Well, you have a lot of great young talent. You got, you know, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott. And I think it helps to have that kind of that name recognition with a Chase Elliott, you know, the son of Bill Elliott. You got Ryan Blaney, who, you know, his dad was the Buckeye Bullet. You know, I think it's good to have these kids following in their father's footsteps just for the fact that it's keeping NASCAR still grounded to its roots. And for me, I think somebody that can really carry that mantle moving forward, I think is going to be a Chase Elliott. I think is going to be a Ryan Blaney. You know, these guys have good personality. They're good, solid representatives of our sport at a young age already. And I think those two guys, like Kyle Larson, I think those three can really carry the sport moving forward. But, you know, in terms of this season, somebody that I think you can never count out for a championship, as much as I know people hate for me to say this, but I mean, you got to look at Jimmy Johnson. He's already won two races in a row. You know, everyone kind of counts him out every single season, and then he just comes back and puts a whooping on the field. So, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Brad Keselowski, you know, those guys are always going to be a threat, but, you know, you got to watch out for those younger guys. I think Kyle Larson, who is leading the points right now, he's been running the top five almost every race this season, so I think he's somebody that could potentially be a sleeper to win the championship. And I also think Chase Elliott has a good shot. He's been the model of consistency over there at Hendrick for this season. So I think between, you know, those five guys, I wouldn't be surprised to see hoisting the Monster Energy Cup now trophy at the end of the season.
Yeah, you talk about those retirements, man. The Carl Edwards one was another abrupt one that, you know, kind of caught you flat-footed when he made his announcement to walk away. So, yeah, you know. But
honestly, that was more surprising than Junior announcing. I think Carl Edwards has had a good maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 more seasons left. So that was – although he never said the word retirement, and he made that clear. He said, I'm not saying the R word. So, honestly, within the next year or two, I would not be surprised to see Carl Edwards back in a car.
That'll be a lot of fun. And we know the Toyota Care 250 is going on in Richmond. But one quick note on the Richmond Speedway, Jordan, did you know they used to race Indy cars there?
Actually, I did not know that.
Yeah, old timer told me that when I was there, man. And there's nothing like the older racing fans, man. They have so much history. And like whenever you're at a race, there's nothing like those conversations you can have with them. But yeah, this guy, he had an Indy T-shirt on. So me and him, you know, got to talking. I was in the air conditioning because it was a hot day out there. But nevertheless, we had to talk, and he's like, yeah. He's like, can you imagine? You see how short that track is. And he's like, literally, the speed of those Indy cars going around, and he's like, they had to discontinue it. But he's like, man, the wrecks were unbelievable that they used to have there at Richmond Speedway. So that's my little Richmond racing note.
No, I didn't know that. That's actually kind of a fun fact. I know they race at, like, Iowa Speedway, which I think is, like, another maybe a mile track, which is – couldn't imagine the speeds going there.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Jordan, man, we thank you for joining the podcast, man. Thank you for bringing some hope to both NASCAR racing fans and, you know, we're still, like, trying to get over this CBJ thing, man.
Trust me, I'm right there with you guys.
But we thank you for joining the podcast, man. Get your shout-outs and let people know how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can just follow us at the CBJ Artillery. We're on every form of social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Or you can hit my personal Twitter, at Jordek, J-O-R-D-E-C-K.
Yeah, definitely worth a follow for all racing and CBJ-related stuff. And, Jordan, you got a lot of positivity coming through there, too. So I know you have to deal with some trolls sometimes, but, man, you keep it real positive, man, and I appreciate that personally. So.
Hey, we try to have fun with the trolls, especially the Pittsburgh Penguins one. We were actually trending in Pittsburgh the last game five. We were getting under the skin of a lot of Pittsburgh fans, and somehow the artillery ended up trending in Pittsburgh, which I think is the ultimate troll job by us, honestly.
Pittsburgh fans are the easiest people to suck in. You make one crack on Crosby or Malkin about him being a crybaby, and you would have thought that you insulted their manhood or something.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is literally – I mean, we send out one – like you said, one tweet about Crosby. You know, we're – the artillery, we're all about being snarky, sarcastic, and fun. And our tweets are not meant to be taken, like, totally serious. And, you know, but Pittsburgh fans, as soon as they see that, they pounce. And the last five playoffs, it was literally, I would refresh my notifications. You know how you get that little plus 20 if you have more than 20 notifications on Twitter? Mm-hmm. As soon as I refreshed it, plus 20 again, plus 20 again. But it never, the whole entire night, by the end of it, I just stopped looking up notifications because I couldn't keep up with it. But we sent out a couple triggering tweets to Penn fans, and it was absolutely hysterical.
Thank you so much, man, for making us some time, man. Enjoy the rest of the race there in Richmond today, man. We really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. You guys have me on anytime. I appreciate the offer. Thank you, guys.
You can find our podcast in the Google Play Store for Android users, on iTunes for Apple users, and on the Stitcher app, which is available on all platforms for both tablets and phones, and also on Apple AirPlay within cars. Please rate and review us on those platforms. Also, give us a like on Facebook, and please follow us at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter. You can always listen to any of our podcasts at withanohiobias.com as well. Appreciate that. Thanks for listening, and we will talk at you next time.